verses 6 through 9. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now, I love this text because it's really quite thrilling to me that we have a privileged partnership, a partnership with God. And in this partnership, we're dependent on God, and God giveth the increase. And furthermore, we're in partnership with each other. I planted, Apollos watered, so we're also dependent on each other. You know, we talk about the self-made man, but, you know, there really is no such thing. We drink from wells we have not dug. We learn from books we have not written. We are blessed by institutions we did not build. We are reared in families we did not establish. We are always dependent on one another. Even as we gather here to worship, this is a corporate and cooperative experience. Each person brings a spirit into this service, and a spirit that spills over to the others in the room. The thrilling implication of this text is that God is counting on us to use the tools He created to save the lost. God needs us to plant and water. Whatever spiritual harvest is accomplished is a result of our participation in God's great plan. He needs not only our faith and our worship, but our active labor and support. But one important thing we need to keep in mind, another person's salvation is not our job. That is the choice that they have to make themselves. We can only plant seed and water. God makes it grow. God gives the increase. We know from God's word that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But that call has to be made from the heart of each person because they believe in faith, not because you or I told them to. Now, if this sounds like I'm taking two opposite sides of an argument, I really am not. What I'm saying is that it's our job to be the farmer that Jesus talked about who planted seeds. The farmer went out to sow his field. And as he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seeds fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And then he explained what he meant by this parable. It says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the core value of evangelism. The reason that we're called to go. Jesus set this process up when he was here. He gave us the instructions and the command. He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And just before he was taken up into heaven after his resurrection, he restated this charge when he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yeah, I'm reading a book by Mark Cahill. It's called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. Now, Mark Cahill is an evangelizing fanatic to the point of being scary. This is a guy that walks in the bad part of town at night, talking to prostitutes and drug addicts. He witnesses to people sitting next to him on airplanes, people in restaurants, people in walking in malls. He's always looking for the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. He's seed planting all over the place. In his book, he writes, I can guarantee there is one thing you cannot do in heaven that you can do on earth. You can worship God in heaven. You can praise God in heaven. You can sing songs to God in heaven. You can learn God's word in heaven. But the one thing you cannot do in heaven is share your faith with a non-believer. Why? Because everyone in heaven is a believer. Do you realize that when you take your last breath, you will never again be able to talk with a lost person? And since that is true, shouldn't it be a priority of our lives to reach out to all the lost people on earth while we can? That makes sense to me, even though it is intimidating. I do share my faith with people, usually people staying at one of our shelters, the shelters I work at. People need to know that someone cares about them regardless of their past or their mistakes or their circumstances. That's not important. God cares. God forgives. Lives can change. But what happens if I don't plant the seed? What happens when I don't water the seed planted by someone else? Like the scattered seeds in the parable that Jesus told, they wither and die. Evangelism is the calling of every Christian. Throughout the teachings of Christ are the admonitions, go. Go and be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and save the lost. It's important to God that we tell people about Jesus and his sacrifice, letting them know that they can become a part of the family of God, that they can have a relationship with the living God in a personal way. I have a sticker in the window of my truck that says, life's short, heaven's forever. People need to know that. It's clear, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to establish God's kingdom on earth. He came so that everyone would have the opportunity to find eternal life and a joyful future in heaven. He came so that people would change their attitudes and their actions and start acting like they really love their neighbors themselves. A part of that is evangelism. If we love our neighbors, We have to tell them about Jesus. It's the only hope they have. Jesus himself told us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, as I said earlier, the salvation of the non-believer is not our job. That is the personal choice that each person has to make on their own. We can't push, prod, intimidate, or insist that someone we're ministering to make a commitment to Christ right now. That has to come from the person's heart, from his own conviction, from his own conscious choice. He has to believe, not just make someone else happy, or to get them to leave you alone, leave them alone. Look, the Bible is abundantly clear when it comes to how salvation comes about. In the 10th chapter of Romans, we read, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the roadmap to salvation. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. If we trust him, we'll never be put to shame. If we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. And this is internal to everyone. We all had to make that commitment when we professed our faith in Jesus Christ. We all had to let Jesus into our heart, into our thoughts, into our very lives every day. Every person has to make this commitment to be saved. And that can only be done by the person we're witnessing to. We can tell them that belief and confession are necessary, but if we prompt them to say the words without the commitment in their hearts, we're fooling ourselves and the person that we're speaking to. This choice is personal, intimate, and has to reflect a true belief in the heart of the person. That is life-changing. Never the same again. God works in our hearts to make this choice. The Holy Spirit comes to the person who is genuinely making this forever change in their lives. God brings the harvest. We plant and water. We encourage. We support the life changes. We stand by the believer when Satan tries to pull him back. We become family. So, while we cannot bring about a person's individual salvation, we can give them the knowledge that can let them make that choice. That is evangelism. That is outreach. Whatever you want to call it. In Romans 10, just after the passage we read a minute ago, there's another admonition, and this time it's for the evangelist. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But the thrilling implication of this text is that God is depending on us. He needs us to plant and water. God needs us to speak and teach. Whatever spiritual harvest is accomplished is not produced by God alone. He needs not only our faith and our worship, but our active labor and support. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on persistence in prayer, to pray until something happens. And evangelism needs to be bathed in prayer. If we're seed planting, we may not see the watering. And if we're watering, we may not see the harvest. We persevere because that's the only way that the lost can be found, rescued. We have to be careful that we don't get discouraged when the person we're talking to turns and walks away. That doesn't mean that he's rejected the message. It may mean that he's just not in a point in his life to make that commitment or the change. If God is our partner, the harvest will come. I have a friend who's been married for over 50 years to a very nice man who happened to be a non-believer. She's very involved in her church and had a strong belief in God and His power, so she prayed that her husband would be saved. She worked in Christian charities. She served on the church board. She was a very caring and giving person who never turned her back on anyone. She prayed for and talked to her husband for 50 years. Then one Sunday, as she was getting ready to go to church, her husband came in and said, "I'd like to come with you today." She was totally surprised by this. But she said, "Okay, let's go." During the service at the altar call, he stood up and went forward, confessing Jesus and asking that he come into his life. A few days later, he was baptized, and my friend saw the life changes in him. 50 years since the first seed was planted. 50 years of watering. 50 years of prayer. But as she told me, it was worth every minute. Plant, water, and pray. Plant, water, and pray. Three simple words that signify the part of our relationship with God that for some is the most difficult. Sharing the story of God's love and mercy, reaching out to the lost is what Jesus came to do. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. He's calling us to continue His work. If we don't take the opportunity to share the gospel with others, who will? How many of these will be lost because they did not hear the good news? We're not responsible for how they respond to the message that they receive from us. But we are responsible for giving them the message in the first place. God has blessed us in our own salvation. Our own choice has made us a son or daughter of God. We are blessed by the fact that God wants us to be His hands and feet and His voice here on earth, so that the works of Jesus continue and the lost are found. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He did this for us. And He did this for everyone who will believe. So let's expand the kingdom and plant and water and pray. Now, Stephen, before he left, recorded a message for us on evangelism. And I'd like to go ahead and play that for you now.
Good morning, Northgate Community Church, and I'm glad that you're here in church today.
Something as simple as say, "Hey, how's it going?" And someone opens up to you and tells you about a problem that they're having, and you have the opportunity to support them with prayer, support them with encouragement, support them with a presence. I'm a chaplain for the police department, and we go on call-outs all the time for usually really bad things that have happened to people. And we are a ministry of presence. That is, we're there to encourage people, to support people, to give them the information they may need if that's the circumstance, to pray with them if that's what they want to do. But we pray for them whether they want us to or not, because God is merciful and he wants to help people in their time of need. So you never know when the opportunity is going to arise. I mean, it could be something just on a regular day-by-day contact with someone that you've seen before, and all of a sudden there's something going on in their life that they need your encouragement and your prayer. And perhaps you plant the seed at that point in time to bring them to a point of salvation. But we have to look for those opportunities and take them, and not get too scared by the thought of sharing our faith with someone else, because sometimes that's a very difficult thing to do. I'd like to close today just by reading Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. And then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord is exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. We don't hide his righteousness. We don't hide his faithfulness and his salvation. We don't conceal his love and his truth. We give that to the world. That's our calling. That's who we are as Christians. Watch for the opportunity. You don't necessarily have to go to the bad part of town and minister to drug addicts and prostitutes in the middle of the night. But if you come across a person in pain or in need, or with questions, be prepared just to give them the basic outline of what God can do for them, what Jesus has already done for them, and what and life eternal is going to be all about. The gentleman that wrote the book I was telling you about, his lead-in for everybody is, if you die tonight, are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven? And see, that he starts all of his conversations that way, which is pretty pushy. But it gives them a lot of opportunity to talk to people. Some people just turn around and walk away. Other people will sit and talk to him and have that seed planted. So plant and water and pray at every opportunity and expand the kingdom of God as far as we can possibly expand it within our world. That's our calling. That's what God is asking us to do. And that's what God needs us to do for his kingdom. So as we close today, let's take a moment to give our thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, your salvation is something that we can hold on to in our hearts, in our very lives. That we were lucky enough to have someone tell us about your love. We were lucky enough to listen when that message was given. And Lord, your Spirit filled our hearts and let us choose you and change our lives and have an eternal hope of spending forever with you. Lord, I ask that you give everyone in this room the courage and the strength to take the opportunities that are presented to them. And I include myself in that. That if the chance comes for us to tell someone about you, that you will give us the strength and the courage to do that. Lord, you will bless us all. You brought us to a congregation that is a family. You brought us to a relationship with you that ensures our future forever. And Lord, none of this was deserved on our part. You did it because you loved us. Because you loved everyone, that you came so that all who believe will find salvation. So Lord, help us plant. Help us water. Show us how to pray. And let us reach out to those in need. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.